Our guest this evening is Antonia Salmon. Her innovative burnished and smoke-fired ceramic sculptures belong to a modern tradition of British sculpture that refines forms found in the natural world. Antonia studied geography and archaeology at the University of Sheffield and pottery at the Harrow School of Art, where she was inspired by renowned ceramicists such as Lucy Rhee, Hans Koper. Currently, Antonia Salmon's studio is north of London in Sheffield, where she is close to the rivers and landscapes that continually inspire her sculptural forms. She has exhibited in Britain and internationally for over 30 years, lectured in ceramics at University of Derby, been a visiting lecturer in colleges, potters' associations, art fairs, and has conducted workshops throughout Britain and Europe. Her work is represented in private and public collections throughout the UK, Japan, Europe, the US, China, Australia, and South Africa. It's a pleasure to have you speaking with us today from Sheffield, England. Hello, Antonia, and welcome to Art World Innovators.
Hello, Susan. It's a real pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. What is your earliest memory of a time when you felt a sense of your passion for ceramics and sculpture?
Well, thinking about that, I was remembering that my grandmother was an amateur potter, actually, and so she had us playing with clay in the garden. And I think around the age of four, I remember just feeling my hands burning with pleasure and sort of excitement and energy whenever I played with the clay. So that was a really early, visceral sort of sense of enjoyment. But then also my mother is a sculptor and my father was an architect, and so really I was brought up to love sculpture, and we went to art exhibitions, and at holidays we were taken all over Europe looking at cathedrals and things. So it's been in my upbringing to become very aware of form and space, art and architecture.
There were many remarkable potters in England that were active in the early to mid-1900s, such as already mentioned, Lucy Rhee and Bernard Leach and Hans Koper, to name just a few. Can you tell us how you may have been influenced by their works along with people that were important in your life, and what forms are you drawn to?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't really know about the work of Hans Koper until I first started to train in the early 80s, and Lucy Rhee, of course. When I first saw Hans Koper's work, I was just blown away, because there's something that he touches, sort of primal and energetic and mysterious, something beyond form. And that to me has been a thread in my work always, remembering that even though you're making form, you can touch a mystery there. And of course, I've been, not just influenced and inspired by potters, but by sculptors, Gordier Breschka, Barbara Hepworth, and more, all the sort of early 20th century sculptors who were really using their material to inform the forms that they were making. So this is not about conceptual art. This is about people who really knew and understood the language of the materials that they were using.
Not only the materials, but they also took the natural landscapes and incorporated that into their forms, especially someone like Hepworth, and in an area so close to Sheffield where you are. How did your sculptures incorporate landscapes and nature in the forms and spaces?
Well, from very early on, I mean, apart from these holidays in Europe looking at cathedrals, we've always did a lot of walking as a family. So the landscape has, even though I was brought up in London, we walked in the countryside a lot in Scotland and in the southwest of England on Dartmoor. So landscape has been a really important part of my experience. And there's, I think, something about walking through the landscape has always been for me a bit like walking through an enormous sculpture. So in a sense, that is how I look at landscape. I look at it almost as walking over a body of land. And of course, my works are much smaller. But when I am working on a sculpture, I'm so close to it that it is like inhabiting that landscape and going through it, really informing myself about the spaces between the forms. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And your sculptures are quite innovative and captivating in the sense and how you've interpreted the forms and landscapes. And it's also seen in many of your exhibits, such as Shaping Ceramics, from Lucy Ray to Edmund de Waal at the Jewish Museum in London. That was in 2017. In this exhibition, they highlighted the ceramics that were inspired by those modernist ideas and imported to England in the early 20th century. And you included also a potter studio demonstration in that exhibit that can be viewed online. Can you describe one of your sculptures to give us a sense of experiencing your work in person?
Well, because the sculpture that was shown in the DVD for the exhibition was a sculpture called Touch Point, which was really about two elements which were just fixed but barely touching each other. One of the sculptures in the exhibition, which was the sort of newest one and is an area that I'm really interested in exploring further, is a sculpture called Windrush. And in a sense, how that's a mixed media sculpture. So in that one, I'm using ceramics. It's a ring of clay, a thick ring of clay, which I've thrown on the wheel. And when the clay is dried, I've cut that ring and sort of overlapped the two ends. So it's a broken ring. And then in the space, in the internal space inside the ring, I've incorporated wire. And this is a special industrial wire that you can put in a kiln. So I've fixed the wire into the clay ring and placed it so that it's defining and adding to the ring form, but also spikes of the wire are coming out and into the space in the middle. And with this wire, I've dripped liquid clay called slip over the wire. And when you put that on, it's a bit like, I don't know if you've gone out on a cold day and seen the dewdrops on a spider's web.
Yes.
So these little droplets are along the wire. And when the whole thing is fired, I'm hoping it will give a sense of the huge dynamism with the wires circling around the inner space, but also the sense of stillness within, that it's all contained within a ring. And the inspiration for the Windrush was listening, which may sound a bit odd, but a lot of my work recently has been focusing on capturing qualities of sound, such as the wind, such as the rain, such as water flowing down a stream. So in this one, it was the sound of the wind, and hence the name Windrush. I don't know if that gives you a sense of the sculpture.
It certainly does. You're very descriptive from your writings about your artistic inspiration, such as the article Don't Look Now that was published in Ceramic Review in 2007. You eloquently reflect on your experiences and passions in forming your sculpture. What are a few of the most significant discoveries, and how do they resonate in some of the other pieces that you've had in the exhibits?
Gosh, it's funny. When I've often thought about, you know, what are the main inspirations and themes in my work, and I think, I don't know if it's with other artists, but I find for myself, you know, you find a theme and you replay it in from different angles. And I guess always the focus has been on space, which might sound odd when one is actually adapting something solid to make a form. But the focus is on how the form penetrates into space and how form energizes the space around it and holds the space. Probably that's why I was so inspired by Hans Cooper. So in a lot of the themes that I've been working with over the sort of 30 years, probably I guess the strongest one is, how can I in one piece capture both a sense of stillness and a sense of dynamism? And I think the Windrush, you know, is a good example of that. But that's been developed, that idea of wanting to capture both dynamism and stillness, into some pieces where there's a quality of holding and letting go. And I have one sculpture which is called Holding Form, in which it's a form that holds a little bowl that you can pick up and take off. I think more recently, the main drive has been, how can I use my visceral experience of being in nature and communicate that in one sculpture? And that's much more difficult and more possibly more subtle, I don't know, but I find that really exciting. I am moved by artworks that give me a kind of an inner jolt in my body, and I want to use my sort of embodied experience to be communicated in sculpture. So that's where I am at the moment.
Did you learn a lot from your experiences, and what secrets did you learn perhaps in India and the Middle East when you did some traveling, and how did these discoveries contribute to your experimentation and development?
Well, that was a really fantastic opportunity. I traveled across Europe down into Turkey and Syria, Jordan, Iran, and Pakistan, and into India. And I guess the original idea for that travel was because I became very interested in the art and architecture of Islam, and I wanted to sort of make a path, you know, from west to east, really looking at the mosques and the art. And a lot of the art is based on geometry. So that was really intriguing. And I think that geometry underlies a lot of the forms that I make, a love of pure geometry. I guess when I went to India itself, I spent a lot of time with traditional potters there, observing their making processes, observing the way that they fired in very simple kilns, you know, often in just a hollow in the ground, firing the pots amongst cow dung and brushwood. So really low technology methods of firing. And that inspired me. And because the quality of the work is so beautiful, particularly the water pots, and I thought I'd really like to use low technology methods when I came back to England. But then there was a secret, as it were, that something I got that I hadn't looked for in India, which has stayed with me always, is really to do with their attitude to work as a form of service. I guess I think it really supports me in remembering that in this work, I mean, it's a great privilege to be able to work as an artist, but to remember that I have a choice to do this work, and I have a choice in how I approach the work. I could make it an act of self-service, or I can hold an awareness that I really want to bring something excellent into the world. And that, I would say, is a secret I got from India.
Well, you certainly share that secret in your work. It's quite amazing. And I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on Art World Innovators. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us and share your story and insight.
Oh, lovely to talk with you. And I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. That was Antonia Salmon, the ceramic sculptor, speaking with us from her studio in Sheffield, England.